is coming a day when no heartache shall come, no more clouds in the sky, no more tears to dim the eye. All is peace forevermore on that happy golden shore. What a day, glorious day that will be. What a day that will be when my Jesus I shall see, and I look upon his face, the one who saved me by his grace. When he takes me by my hand and takes me to that promised land, what a day, glorious day that will be. There'll be no sorrow there, no more burdens to bear, no more sickness, no pain, no more parting over there. And forever I will be with the one who died for me. What a day, glorious day that will be. What a day that will be when my Jesus I shall see, and I look upon his face, the one who saved me by his grace. When he takes me by my hand and leads me through that promised land, what a day, glorious day that will be. What a day, glorious day that will be.
Amen. Brother Ray told me yesterday, I texted him and asked him what he was planning to sing this morning, because as I was preparing the message and going through this topic of hell, it's such a heavy message, and certainly I'm sure you've heard messages on hell before. Maybe you've even heard some. It sounded like the preacher was preaching in such a way he was glad that some people were going there. But that should not be the case, should it? It's a dreadful place, this place called hell. And so that song is so encouraging. When we know the Lord, we're going to see him face to face and be in heaven instead. So we read this scripture this morning. And so we'll begin in Luke chapter 16, verse 19. And before I pray, I'll kind of give you an outline of where we're heading with this topic of hell and its horror. First, we'll look at the consciousness in hell, and then the concerns in hell, the cravings in hell, the condemnation in hell, and then the choice of hell that people make. So let's pray and ask God to speak to our hearts as we look at his word this morning. Father, we thank you for the word of God and for the truth that's there. And Lord, we come this morning to worship you and give you praise for who you are and all that you've done. And of course, one of those things is sending your son to die on the cross so we don't have to go to a place called hell. We know the Bible says that it was created for Satan and his demons, and you never want people to go to hell. We know the scripture says that God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to salvation, to repentance. And so, Father, we pray that you would speak to our hearts, help us to rejoice in the fact that we're going to heaven, and if there's someone here who's not sure of that, may they settle that with you this morning and use this to burden our hearts for the lost, especially in this Missions Emphasis Month. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. As we are looking at the book of Luke, we looked in chapter 15 and we saw the story of the prodigal son, where he had taken his father's, the inheritance he had, and he went and he wasted it. And then we saw the parable of the unjust steward, where he had been accused of wasting his master's goods as well. And now Jesus is telling this story, and this is not a parable here, because in parables you don't find names. There's a name Lazarus, he refers to Abraham, he refers to Moses, and so this is a story that happened that Jesus is sharing with the people there. This is not the Lazarus that we read about that was resurrected from the dead. It's a different Lazarus there. But hell is a real place. And before we look at this outline, a little bit of introduction. You know, there's some people who don't believe in hell. There's an atheistic view. They say, of course, there is no God. And the Bible tells us that the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. But because they reject God, they reject the Bible, they reject hell, and they don't believe it. And sometimes they think just because they don't believe it, they won't have to experience it. But that is the sad part about hell. Even though they don't believe it, it won't change the temperature 1 degree. Those who reject Christ and reject the gospel, even if they don't believe it, they're going to end up there. Well, there's also a humanistic view. A humanistic view is one of ridicule, and they say, we're living in a civilized society. People aren't going to go to hell. This is an old-fashioned teaching, and this is not for society today. And they make fun of this and even use the word hell in a derogatory and profane way there. But even those who reject it and ridicule the doctrine of hell will find themselves there one day, if they reject the Christ who came to deliver them from hell. There's also a religionist view, and they have reason. And with their reason, they say God is a God of love. And a God who is a God of love would never send a person to a place that's described in the Bible with fire and brimstone and torment forever and ever. And it is true that God is a God of love. But God is also a God of holiness and justice. And so we can't ignore one of God's attributes and just take one by itself. We know that God is a God of love because God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever should believe on him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And the word perish means die and go to hell. So God does love us. And he sent the solution to the sin problem in the Lord Jesus. And so those who are religious and will say God is a God of love, they still are rejecting it. And regardless of whether a person's an atheist or a humanist or a religionist, they're rejecting the teaching of the Word of God. But there's the view that we will take today, and that is the biblical view, which says hell is real. It's a real place where real people spend real time with real suffering, and we see that in this story this morning here. And we see that in hell, people are conscious there. Look at verse 23, and you see that there is sight. It says, and in hell, he lift up his eyes. And so when people are in hell, it's not going to be just annihilation with no feeling and no awareness of what's going on, but they're going to see. This rich man who died, he didn't go to hell because he was rich. And the other one didn't go to heaven because he was poor. We know that there's only one way to go to heaven, and that is through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ when we turn to him. And so here's this man. He's in hell, and he is conscious. He's aware of what's going on around him. He's able to see. Not only that, he's able to hear. And verse 25, he's carrying on this conversation. Abraham said to him, son, remember thou in thy lifetime thou received good things. And so he's carrying on this conversation. So people in hell, they're going to see what's going on. They're going to hear what's going on. Probably hearing the screams. The Bible says there's weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth. They're going to hear all of those screams of people who are dying forever, lost in torment with no hope. Then there's no hope. Aren't you glad there's hope today? We have hope today. While we're still alive and we're on earth, there is hope for anyone. Doesn't matter how much a person has sinned or how long they have lived in sin, the Bible says that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And God forgives us of any and all sin. But also in hell, there's not just going to be seeing and hearing, there's going to be feeling in hell. In verse 24, he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. And he's feeling the pain. Probably most of you have felt the pain of fire for a little bit, maybe some of you for longer than would, but you know, it doesn't take much, just a match. You have a match and you're holding it too long. When it starts burning and it gets to the end, just that little second of a little flame, it's painful, isn't it? That doesn't even begin to compare with what's going here. I have a childhood friend who was marred in a fire when she was a little girl. And her whole face and one side of her body was burned terribly. She's still living. It didn't kill her, but it permanently marred her physically. Well, this particular fire that we see in hell here, it is eternal there. And for this girl that I grew up with in church, she's a Christian, and one day she'll receive a new body. It won't be marred there. God has something wonderful for us as believers. But this teaching of hell and this place of hell is a dreadful place. Matthew 25:41, Jesus said, depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire. And so people in hell, they're going to see what's going on, they're going to hear what's going on, they're going to feel what's going on, and then they're going to have memory. In verse 25, Abraham said to him, remember. And he's asking him to think back and remember the things that happened on earth. And so the memory is there. Whenever he was living on earth, verse 19, we read those verses earlier. It says, he fared sumptuously every day. That's not language that we normally use. What does it mean when our King James Bible says he fared sumptuously? The word fared means to rejoice and be glad. And the word sumptuously has to do with kind of making a show of it there openly. And so everyone knew that the man was rich. Everyone knew that he was enjoying life. And he was a happy man. And so now he's being asked to reflect back on that and remember that in the time that he was on earth, oh, he was happy. He was enjoying life. And sometimes I hear parents say that for their children, especially after the children are grown and they're out of the home. They say one thing they want for their children, I just want my children to be happy and have a good life. Well, this man had that. He was happy and had a good life, but he ended up in hell. That's not enough for us to desire for our children. We have to pray that God would speak to their hearts and save them at a very early age in life, as soon as they can understand. We want to be praying for our children so that they come to know the Lord. And think about the things of memory. Have a full moon. Did you see it this last night or night before? In hell, there's not going to be a memory of the beautiful full moon or the memory of the sunsets. Or isn't it a joyous thing when you see these little babies, you know, and they start to smile? And there's not going to be any of that in hell. Even tomorrow's my wife's birthday, and she asked for a lemon meringue pie for her birthday instead of a cake. And Kelly made her one, and I wasn't there when she pulled it out the oven, but I know what it's like to smell those things in the oven. There won't be any memories of those kinds of things in hell there. There's going to be memory. Maybe people will be remembering when they sat in church, they sat in revival, they sat at camp meeting, they sat in a Christian school Bible class or chapel, and they're remembering the preacher, and they're hearing the message over again, and they're in hell, and they remember that they said, no, I'll put it off. They're remembering every procrastination. There's memory in hell. That's why the Bible says today is the day of salvation. Today is the appointed time. We don't turn from the Lord when he speaks to us and convicts us of our need of salvation, because there may not be another chance. And so there's memory here. Well, not only is there consciousness in hell, this man had some concerns in hell. And his first concern was a concern for mercy. In verse 24, he said, "Have mercy on me." It's too late then. Aren't you glad that there's mercy today? We need mercy to be saved. We need to be telling people of God's mercy. God's mercy is available as long as a person is on earth. It doesn't matter, like I said, how long a person has sinned or how much they've sinned. God's mercy can be found today if we but call on Him. But there's coming a day when people will cry out for mercy, and it will be too late. Psalm 103, verses 8 through 12. Listen to these several verses. "The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and plenteous in mercy. He will not always chide, neither will He keep His anger forever. He hath not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. For as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is His mercy toward them that fear Him. As far as the east is from the west, so far He has removed our transgressions from us." And so God's mercy is there, and it's a wonderful thing. But here's a man in hell crying for mercy. Too late. So sad that he's crying for mercy. Also, he's concerned about destiny, not just his own. But now he's crying out for the destiny of his brothers. He says, "I have five brothers." In verse 28, he says, "Send Lazarus to testify." Isn't it a wonderful thing for us to give a testimony? To testify of what God has done for us? To testify of His saving grace when we trusted Christ? For me, I was 9 years old at a church camp in Sherrall, South Carolina, and give a testimony of that. But see, there's no purgatory, as some might believe, where people are going to get a second chance. Now, on earth, we have a second chance, and a third, and a fourth, and sometimes more than that. But after a person leaves this earth and they are dead, there's no chance of receiving God's mercy. Their destiny is sealed at the point of death. That's why we have a missions emphasis month, to take the gospel to the whole wide world so that all the world can know that there's a heaven to gain and a hell to shun because of what Christ has done for us. Not only was he concerned with mercy and destiny, but look down to verse 30 and look at another concern he had. He said to Father Abraham, "But if one went to him from the dead, they'll repent." And so he now is concerned about repentance. Oh, today there's not so much concern about repentance. Repentance, of course, has to do with a change of position. Whenever we get saved and we trust Christ as our Savior, the Bible says that we are in Christ. And so we have moved from a place of being in the world or in our sins, and God has moved us to be in Christ. And the Bible says that if any man be in Christ, he's a new creation. Old things are passed away and all things are become new. And so there are a lot of people today that want to just have this, what I call easy believism, where they just believe there's a God and Jesus is God's Son. But believing is not enough. The book of James tells us that. It says the devils believe and they tremble. Why do they tremble? They know the reality of hell. Devils believe in God. They believe that Jesus is the Son of God. They believe that He's the only way to be saved, but they haven't repented. And so we know that repentance is necessary in order to be saved. And so just acknowledging the truth is not enough. There must be repentance and faith, as the Scripture teaches. Well, this man is in hell. Let's look at his cravings. What does he desire? Well, one of the basic necessities, he desires water. Verse 24, he said, "Send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue." He's begging for satisfaction. Now think about the rich man. The whole time he was on earth, oh, he had plenty of water. He had plenty of everything. Remember, he fared sumptuously there. And one of the basic necessities of life, he's craving for that. Jesus said that he would provide all the basic things for us, didn't he, in Matthew 6. He said, "Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and then all these things, he says, I'll provide for you there. And so the satisfaction of thirst he was craving. Also, he was craving salvation for others. Again, going to verse 28 where we were earlier, he said, I have five brothers. He's in hell, but he remembers. He remembers that he has five brothers. And he knows that they don't believe in Jesus either. And that when they die, they're going to end up coming to hell to be where he is. And he doesn't want that. And so he has this desire that someone would go and tell them there. On earth, he had different desires. His desire was to be happy, to enjoy life, to enjoy all his wealth, and to let everyone know that he had all that he needed there. But now things have changed. You know, in heaven, there's no sorrow, as we heard sung earlier, and will not be grieving over the lost. Here he is grieving over the lost family that he has. But the Bible says in heaven, God's going to wipe away all the tears. We're not going to have thoughts that cause us to grieve and have pain. We might have loved ones now that are lost and are going to hell. And that should concern us. And we should share the gospel and we should pray. But when we get to heaven, we're not going to have that memory of knowing that they're in hell. That would be agony, wouldn't it? We don't have any of that. And so the Lord will erase that from our minds. But in hell, he is remembering his family who are lost. Psalm 126, verse 6 says, he that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. And so we do the weeping now. We do the weeping over our loved ones and praying and asking God to save them and send someone with the gospel to them. Well, let's look next at the condemnation in hell. In hell, there is fire, as we mentioned, but worse than all of that is a separation from God. In 2 Thessalonians 1, it says there is destruction from the presence of the Lord. And that is the worst thing about hell. In verse 26, notice it says, there is a great gulf fixed. There is a separation between. And those who were there in hell, they can't go over to heaven. And those that are there, they can't go back. He says, once death has occurred to a person on earth, his destiny is sealed forever. And those who die without Christ, they're separated from God. That's what the word death means. Death is separation. When this body dies, the soul and spirit, they're separated from the flesh. Whenever a person dies without Christ, his soul and spirit are separated from God for all eternity. And so there's the physical death, but then there's that spiritual death where people die without Christ and they spend eternity condemned in hell when they really didn't have to, and we'll get to that in just a minute. But also the condemnation of the scriptures. Jesus, as he's telling this story of the rich man and Lazarus, and he's begging for someone to go to his family, Abraham said to him, they have Moses and the prophets, that's the law, that's the Old Testament, the scriptures. Let them listen to what the Bible says. You know, not to what the atheists say, not to what the religionists say, not to what, those who try to reason say, the humanists. What does the Bible say? And the Bible says that there's a hell where real people go and spend eternity because they have rejected Christ. Not because they have committed some particular sin, because the Bible says we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. And we all deserve hell. Whether it's for stealing or lying or adultery or murder or whatever it is, we all deserve death. We all deserve hell. But we don't have to go there. The scripture tells us that. In Romans chapter 10, verse 17, it says, so then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And so when we're sharing with people about salvation, about Christ, we share the word of God. It's a wonderful thing to share our personal testimony, as I mentioned earlier, and tell people how we got saved. But there's power in the Word of God. When we share the Scriptures with them, the Scriptures will either open up their hearts, or if they reject it, it hardens their hearts. And so the Bible says, let them hear the Scripture. The Scripture says there's a hell. The Scripture says there's a heaven. But he said to them, no, Father Abraham, if one went to them from the dead, they'll repent. And so we see now the choice of hell. And there's the persuasion of hell. In verse 31, he said to them, if they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one rose from the dead. Today, over 2,000 years later, this rich man in hell, he's persuaded. He knows there's a hell now, but it's too late for him. And one day, every person who has ever lived since Adam and Eve, every person will be persuaded either that there's a heaven or there's a hell, because those are the only two destinies that we can choose. There's a hymn that we sometimes sing. It's in our hymn book. It's called Almost Persuaded. Almost persuaded, but lost. It's not enough to be almost persuaded. A person can believe in his mind and acknowledge the facts, but until there's been repentance mixed with faith and Christ has come into the heart and saved him, then it will be too late when a person dies. Well, the pity of hell. The pity of hell is that people don't have to go. It says, neither will they be persuaded, though one rose from the dead. Now, in John, we have another Lazarus, a different one than what's mentioned here in this story. Lazarus did rise from the dead, didn't he? And Jesus said, Lazarus, come forth. You know, and there were some people that believed, but there's another one who rose from the dead that the Scriptures testify. He said, let them hear the Scriptures. The Bible tells us about the Lord Jesus Christ, who died, and he was buried, and he rose again. And that's what 1 Corinthians 15 calls the gospel, the good news that Christ died for our sins according to the Scripture. He was buried, and he rose again, and people don't have to go to hell. But people choose to, and they choose to because they choose to reject Christ. And he's the only way of salvation. So when people are rejecting Christ and choosing not to be saved, they are in reality choosing hell every time. And in hell, there's a remembrance. Maybe they've rejected 8 or 10 or 15 times. There's a remembrance of hell, of the rejection of Christ. And people don't have to go. His mercy is available today. If you've never trusted Christ as your Savior, you don't have to go to hell. His mercy is available. The Bible says today, if you hear his voice, harden not your heart. Because, see, that's what happens when people say no. They hear the gospel, they have two choices. They either receive it and Christ comes in and saves them, but the more we say no to the gospel, the more the heart becomes calloused and it gets harder and harder and it becomes easier just to say no. And they made a choice of hell. Well, in conclusion, let's look at a contrast of these two men. In verse 19, Jesus says, there was a certain rich man. He was clothed in purple and fine linen, and he fared sumptuously every day. He enjoyed life on earth. But the beggar, verse 20, named Lazarus, he was laid at the gate. He was full of sores. He desired to be fed with crumbs from the rich man's table. And the dogs came and licked his sores. Not a very pretty picture, is it, there? And so we see that their earthly dwelling, one had all he needed physically, materially, financially. He was happy, fared sumptuously every day. But the other one, for the short time he was on life and on earth living, he didn't have it so well. But boy, he is faring sumptuously today, isn't he, in heaven. There. But not only do we contrast the earthly dwelling, we also contrast the eventual death. In verse 22, it says, it came to pass, as it will for all of us, that the beggar died. And notice what it says about him. He was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. God has his angels that will carry us away. Sometimes I read on Facebook when people lose loved ones and they're grieving and they say so-and-so became an angel or so-and-so got their wings today. They're grieving, and so I don't want to correct their theology, but the theology is wrong, and that's not the right time to address it. We don't become angels when we die. We're not angels now. Angels are not redeemed. The Bible says we have a song to sing of redemption. It's a song that the angels cannot sing. There's even a song that says that, if you know that song there. And so we don't get wings, we don't become angels, but we inherit eternal life through Christ. Here, his death, he was carried by the angels. But notice the other one. It says, the rich man, he died, he was buried, and in hell, he lifted up his eyes. The Bible says, for us as believers, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. As soon as a person dies, there's separation. That's what death is. The soul and spirit are separated from the body, and they are forever with the Lord, or they are forever in hell, though they don't have to be because Christ has paid the price for us. And the third contrast we see in these two men is their eternal destination. Abraham's bosom, which is called paradise. Remember, Jesus said to the thief on the cross, he says, today thou will be with me in paradise. However, there's no one in paradise today. Ephesians chapter 4, verses 8 through 10, and we don't have time to go into this. This is another sermon or two or three here. Ephesians 4, 8 and following says, wherefore he saith, when he, Jesus, ascended up on high, he led captivity captive, and he gave gifts to men. And it talks about how Jesus went into the heart of the earth, and he came up and he rose again from the dead there. And now he has a place prepared. Jesus said, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place, I will come again and receive you unto myself. The Bible talks about the second death, the eternal destination of this man, this rich man. It says in Revelation 2:11, he that hath an ear, better pay attention, God said. Let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. He that overcomes shall not be hurt of the second death. See, there are two deaths. There's a physical death that all die, and there's a second death. In Revelation, there are four verses in Revelation I'll share with you. Then in chapter 20, verse 6, blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. That's us who are saved. On such, the second death, it doesn't have any power. Aren't you glad Jesus has broken the power over that second death for us? But they shall be priests of God in Christ and will reign 1,000 years. Jesus is coming back. And those of us who know the Lord, there's going to be 1,000-year millennial reign with Christ. 2014, and death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. So hell is cast into the lake of fire. So obviously they're not the same place. So there are people that are in hell, but it's going to be cast into the lake of fire, and that is the second death, forever being separated from God. For that's what death is, separation. And the last verse this morning is from Revelation 21:8. But the fearful, the unbelieving, the abominable, the murderers, the whoremongers, the sorcerers, idolaters, and all liars. Notice the word all here. It doesn't use all before the other types of sin. It says all liars shall have their part in the lake which burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. All liars. Those atheists who have that view that they reject that there's a hell. The humanists who think that it's ridiculous to have a place called hell. The religionists who say that a God of love is not going to send them. All those false views, they're liars. And it says, all liars will have their part in the lake of fire that burns forever. It's a dreadful place. It's a horrible place. But there's good news, isn't there? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish and go to hell, but have everlasting life. Let's pray. Father, Thank you for your wonderful mercy that is extended to us every day. The Bible says your mercies are new every morning. Lord, I pray that if there's one here who has never received the mercy of God and salvation through Christ, that during this hymn of invitation, they would ask you to come into their heart and save them and know Christ personally and have that place in heaven prepared for us. You have prepared a place in heaven for us, for those who have prepared a place in our hearts for you. And so, Father, I pray that you would speak to our hearts as we sing this hymn of invitation. And Lord, those of us who are already saved, may the thought and the reality of hell move us to a greater witness for Christ as we share the wonderful gospel. In Jesus' name, amen.